flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Against them.
So,
I don't know what else to say. Now, I would say Joe Brady, the offense coordinator, how does James Cook not touch it more? I felt like I walked out of that game feeling like he wasn't on the field enough for me.
Yeah. Those short yardage situations, they're going to be kicking themselves for so long.
Right?
Like, come on, man. Like, you can't be more creative than, like, it's one thing for the Eagles who have, like, monopolied the tush push. Like, they're actually good at it. Like, sooner or later, you got to realize, okay, this isn't working. Let's do something else, right? After the first failed attempt, I would have just gone away from it.
I agree. Something.
That's a good point.
Something. James Cook, 3 catches, 49 yards, 13 carries, 85.
So he got 15 touches, basically.
16 touches there. And
he's a guy who's
and it
been,
felt like he needed 20 yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
20 to 25. So Johnson, 6 carries, 19 yards, not enough.
The other thing, my overarching, like, as I think about the Niners and as I think about where the league's going, the fourth down aggressiveness at all over the field by all these teams, we're a little too conservative. If I just go in big picture, I don't have the data in front of me. I don't know how many times the Niners have gone for it versus other teams or whatever. I just feel like if you're not all in on your offense, converting a 4th and 5 from the 45, dude, you're never going to win. You're just not. You have to put the ball in, especially now that you're going to pay Brock Purdy. You know, like, if you think he's a $50 million quarterback and you pay him as such, 4th and 5 from the 45, if you don't trust the kicker or whatever, it's not
going to be
the
right. You've got to put it in Brock Purdy's hands. Put it in Brock Purdy's hands.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it in his hands. Now, I'm looking again. I can't get over the 4th and 1, Shasky, but I'm with you with Brock Purdy. Put it in his hands. Put the proper playmakers around them and let them win a game for you.
Now, they
go
did that in the Super Bowl, to give them credit. Niners did go for it, but I just feel like more times than not, they feel ridiculous field goals.
They do. They Shanahan, by nature, is a little more conservative. No, not whatnot. But also, I'm just looking back at the formation of the fourth, because I can't get the play out of my head and how Buffalo botched this.
What was the formation of the fourth down play?
The tush push, usually, they have double tight ends, got the running backs in the backfield, and they push Jalen Hurts. Just everybody's bunched in tight. Yeah. Looks like the old wing T, single wing, whatever it is. Buffalo, on their tush push, had 3 wide receivers out there. 3 wide receivers, the lone back being Ty Johnson in the backfield, and 1 offset tight end. Meanwhile, Kansas City has 3 dudes bunched up over the center, basically. Chris Jones and the other guy. It's just terrible formation. This is terrible. Like, you got to call the timeout, either challenge the Dalton Kincaid play on 3rd and 3, challenge that and say, hey, he got the first down. at least it gives you time in case they don't give you the first down on the challenge to say, you know what, fourth and one, we're going to go tush, push, but let's line it up. This was botched. This was unbelievable. And then you snap the ball with 26 seconds left. So why are you in a rush? Run a dummy count. Try to draw them off sides for having a quarterback like Josh Allen, who's a veteran, who's been in a lot of moments like this, to be that unprepared in that moment and look so undisciplined in that moment or sloppy, whatever words you want to use. That's your game. Blame Buffalo for that. That's on them, not the officials.
Poor Josh Allen, man. He didn't even have a bad game. He didn't turn the ball over egregiously, you know. I thought he was, you know, scattershot in the first half, but he's just never going to get over the hump as long as this guy's in the league.
Yeah, maybe not. And then, so we asked the question, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Larry Barrett joined us at the 8 o'clock hour. Go ahead, download the Odyssey app, 95.7thegame.com, to find that interview. A lot of good stuff there. We'll continue to recap that one and react to what Larry Barrett had to say about the 2025 San Francisco Giants. But Niner fans, the Super Bowl is set between the hated Kansas City Chiefs and the hated Philadelphia Eagles. Are you watching the Super Bowl? Are you rooting for the Eagles? Are you rooting for history as the Chiefs try to win, go three-peat for the first time in NFL history? Or are you just all out on this game? Where's your head at as a Niner fan right now? Is this the worst possible outcome for the final game of the season?
I put it out on Twitter, and everyone was like, most people agree with me, but then some people were like, no, the worst would be Cowboys-Raiders. And I'm like, all right, I hear you, like big picture Cowboys-Raiders. When was the last time you feared the Cowboys? When was the last time the Raiders meant anything to you as a Niner fan? Like, I don't know. The Eagles, it feels very fresh. And it to me, it's not just the fans. Debo hates the Eagles.
Yeah.
And the players hate the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I've kind of carried on some of that hatred. And then, like, obviously the Chiefs, they beat you twice.
Yeah. You haven't beat them.
I don't feel any solace. Here's one thing I will say. If the Chiefs win it all, it's not like, oh, I feel better about the Niners losing to them because they're an all-time great.
No,
it still sucks.
It sucks. By the way, some breaking news here with the 49ers. Special teams.
Who have they hired?
The Niners Bones? Are hiring.
Fossil?
No, they're not.
Sorensen?
Sorensen's moved on.
To where?
He's moved on.
To Santa Cruz?
It was all season. The 49ers are hiring Brent Boyer to be their next special teams coach.
Where was he?
Boyer, 53 years old, had the same job with the New York Jets since 2016, which means his units were solid enough, according to Matt Barrows, to survive three regime changes in New York City. Now,
no way! That cannot be the selling point.
Ludman or Spadoni.
That is incredible.
I need one of you guys to look at the Jets special teams ratings over the last 10 years. But Matt Barrows just tweeted out.
I was so good at my job, I stuck on with the Jets through three regime changes.
Somebody wanted a breaking news sounder. Sorry. Brent Boyer, 53 years old, had the same job with the Jets since 2016, which means his units were solid enough to survive three regime changes in New York.
So what, he was with Adam Gase?
Todd Bowles.
I totally forgot about Todd Bowles.
And now,
wow.
Robert Saleh. So we know Saleh pretty well. Maybe Saleh gave him a recommendation. I don't remember the Jets.
Are you
Do they have any
Saleh?
Punt returns? Huh?
Are you pumped for Saleh?
If they're going to try different things, I'm not mad at Saleh. I'm not mad at it, but there's a couple things. One, he could be one and done. If he's good, he's going to move on, and some Niner fans will say, well, if he's good, that means we're good. That means we're playing deep into February or January. That's fine, but then you'll have to hire another defense coordinator, which affects the stability of the defense.
It's a valid point. We saw Robert Saleh with the Jets. I mean, really, he's going to get another opportunity somewhere?
Jets defense was solid. Defense was good.
As the main dude running an organization.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he might. He might get another shot. Some team may say, you know what? He was with the New York Jets.
Okay.
The New York Jets stink.
I mean, he did it with Zach Wilson, and it looked awful. Then he did it with Aaron Rodgers, and it looked awful. Does he just get a pass?
Is that all on him, or is that on Rodgers? Is that on Nathaniel Hackett? Is that on Rodgers, one that catered their offense to himself?
I don't know. Look, I guess if Raheem Morris can get multiple opportunities, why can't Robert Saleh? I always question, like,
right.
I don't think he knows anything about offense.
But no, just think about the offense. Just think about that organization. Think about the organization. The owner's a clown.
Yes.
Did you ever read the story about the owner's sons?
Yeah.
Making decisions based off of Madden?
Yeah. I kind of respect it, but keep going.
Oh, I don't. I respect how dumb. Yeah, I know. No, you kind of respect it. I know you.
It's Madden rating isn't where I want.
Madden rating's not there yet. So that's that. So you got that going on. I can't put that on Saleh. You lose your quarterback 4 snaps into the new season. The guy you wanted to replace Zach Wilson with. So you lose your quarterback. So that's a lost season. Then you get your quarterback back. He's acting a fool like he always does. And then, what happens? Nathaniel Hackett gets him. I mean, it was a terror. I can't look at the Jets. I think Saleh deserves one more chance.
Okay.
One more chance.
Well, I would just say to you that I'm not worried about the job he may get down the line. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we need to. Let's just see if he can fix this defense, because I'm looking at it. I got Bosa. I got Warner. I have no idea what they're going to do with Dre Greenlaw.
You
can make the argument they need 5 new players in that front 7.
They probably do, because you got Renardo Green. You probably need another corner. Need another safety. Need some D linemen. Right. Need all that.
So they are ranked as like the second to last. I'm looking at most places. Second to last this year. They had a lot of injuries, I guess.
This is the Jets.
This is the Jets special teams.
Second
where they
to last.
But last season, they were number 2 overall.
Okay.
So, and I'm looking at like year by year, they've been in like the top 10, top 5-ish most years. So there's something.
Brett Boyer, baby.
Well, how about,
Brett Boyer.
How about yesterday watching the Commanders throw a fake
that was pretty sick.
Pass.
That was sick.
All I kept thinking was somewhere Shanahan's like, I would never do that.
Yeah, no. Well, you know what he needs to do? He needs to do the fake punt from UNLV. Remember that UNLV fake punt against Cal?
Monte,
that was so sick.
Has he ever done a fake kick or fake punt?
No, I want a fake punt. I want a fake punt. Hey, Deli Boy, hang tight, Deli Boy. Get to you on the other side. We got a lot of stuff. A buffet cart. Giants, react from Larry Bear.
I could go for the buffet.
Niner fans, you rooting for the Chiefs or the Eagles in the Super Bowl? And then what to make of the Warriors? Let's spend a little time on them as well. That's all going to be brought to you by, and 60 seconds of Celebrini on the other side as well, as they got roasted by the Florida Panthers. It's all coming up. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
I might swerve in that corner, whoa, whoa. Hold on tight, because I'm tweaking it, telling go. And I heard that she want to show, whoa, me who she be. I'm kind of with it, show me some more.
Hey, yo, it's Zushi, man. You're listening to 95.7 again, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Congrats to Zushi, man. He was the first spot of the second annual 95.7 a game knockout tournament.
Let's go.
Now, if this was a weightlifting competition, I'd fear Zucci Mane. Probably lifting on the bench. He's probably on the bench with 3 plates on each side.
Oof.
But when it comes to basketball, I think Zucci's going to shatter some backboards. I'm not worried about Zucci Mane in the knockout tournament. Hey, when you think about the Final Four, he's going to be looking at everybody saying, I'm not going to be there. Come on,
can you
Zucci.
Turn this LiAngelo song up? What's his rapper name?
I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, is he just go by LiAngelo?
I think it's just LiAngelo.
Okay.
Let's see.
So Cam'ron and LiAngelo were having a beef, right? I don't know if you know this. Cam'ron, a.k.a. you know, Killer
His
Cam.
Rap name is G3.
Jello. Okay.
G3.
And, you know, Cam was like, hey, yo, it's a hit. But, like, I got many hit albums. You know what I mean? And that was his big thing. Well, last week, Mace was like, yo, you trying to get on that remix? And Cam'ron saw that as a huge diss.
Oh, he was not happy.
He was like, no. And then he started reciting some suspect Mace lyrics back to him.
Oh, wow.
We will effort that sound.
Oh, wow. Wow, it looks like I'm going to have to tune in to It Is What It Is. It Is What It Is. Going strong. By the way, you know what else we're doing around here? I just thought about it.
What?
Not only is Zucci Mane going to the knockout tournament, we've got something else going on. We've got our slam dunk contest. Our slam dunk in Vegas contest is on.
What is
now,
that?
Check this out.
Okay, I'm checking.
Someone is going to win travel and accommodations for 4 winner plus 3 guests to Las Vegas plus $5,000 for each guest, which means that's $20,000. Yes, you heard it right.
Wow.
$20,000. It's the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championship, and winning is easy. It is easy. All you have to do is download the free Odyssey app right now, log in, and listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. That's right. Download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your daily entry. This is a national contest. Download the Odyssey app now, and you might be headed to Vegas in March with $20,000. Who loves you more than 95.7 the game? 20 G's,
well,
baby.
Well, this is Nationals. Who loves you more than Odyssey?
Odyssey, yeah, that is true. But I'm trying to, you know, we're the first ones to say it, right? We're at the front of this contest, this slam dunk contest.
Other than those East Coast stations that said it 4 hours ago, but yes.
No, they're talking. They're talking. Well,
just, they're just not as locked in as we are, though. With it,
is the country the happy with this matchup? Forget the Bay Area, because we know the Bay Area is not. Is the country happy with Chiefs-Eagles? What do you think?
I don't know. I think the country's fine. They love Mahomes. They love Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but does anyone outside of Philly like Philly? No, I'm asking sincerely.
No, I feel like this Super Bowl matchup is a lot like how people felt about last year's Super Bowl matchup if you weren't a fan of those teams. It was just a lot of like, oh, God, really? This again? Like, I feel like it's going to be a lot of this. Just like, oh, God, these two teams again?
People wanted to see Buffalo get their... get another crack and try to win their first Super Bowl.
We like
Bowl.
To see something different.
People wanted to see Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, and, you know, they weren't ready for the moment. They fumbled the ball three times, for crying out loud. Just unbelievable. Just putrid play by the Commanders. And they're a year, you know, they're a year away. I know Dan Quinn's had to say, hey, we're not playing with house money, blah, blah, blah. You were.
I mean, look, it. Dan Campbell said it great last year when they lost the NFC Championship game. There's no guarantee year to year. You have no idea what you're going to be next year. And, you know, Washington may get back to where they're at. Like, they've got as bright of a future as anyone I could think of in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told me they kept losing in the first or second round, I mean, that's kind of what's happened to Lamar. What's he been to, the one championship game?
One championship game.
He's been one of the best players in the league one for, whatever, seven straight seasons. You just never know.
Cannot make mistakes. Let's go to Deli Boy real quick. Because I know he can't stand the Super Bowl matchup, but he also has something on the Giants. Has something on the Giants. Deli Boy's ready for baseball season, I think. I think he is. Deli Boy, you ready for baseball?
Oh, I am. I am. Let me just say that, you know, this off season with the Niners, they're not going to be doing much. I mean, the only thing that we're going to be worried about is Brock Purdy's contract and how much he's going to get. Other than that, let's just see what's going to happen. I agree with you. Salah needs to kind of mix things up. But let's transfer over to the Giants. Let me just say this. If there's one thing that's going to put butts in the seats, it's two words, Bryce Eldridge. Let's bring the kid up. Let's see what he's got. He's the most exciting prospect the Giants have had since Buster Posey. And when was the last time that we've had a rookie break camp with the Giants and actually start the whole year out? I think it's time that we start doing this up and down. I want to see him play the whole season out. Let's see what he can get with 500 at-bats, 150 games, 130 games. Let's see what he can do. I think that, you know, signing Pete Alonso would be a huge selling point. I think, Joe, you mentioned it, you know, the polar bear hat, the marketing that this Giants team could do. I mean, let's be real. The marketing for the Giants has been a travesty the last couple of years. They haven't really sold me on anything. You know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, all you saw was panda hats and sailor hats and whatnot. I mean, the hair, the Crawford hair. You can really hit something with Alonso. And I think it would be a good veteran to have with Bryce Eldridge. You can flip-flop him being DH and playing first, and Bryce Eldridge taking a break and being DH. If you really want to get butts in the seats, do that. Because right now, as we are, we're staring at fourth place in the division. We're staring it. You know, other than the Rockies, I mean, this division is really tough. You know, Arizona's nothing to shake your head at. They're going to be really, really good. San Diego isn't going anywhere, and we all know about the Dodgers. They're just a juggernaut. So if you really want to bring something in the seats, bring up the kid. Let's see what he's got. Give me something exciting to look forward to. There's nothing really exciting to look forward to. I mean, I like Justin Verlander. Don't get me wrong. I think that was a great cutty signing by the Giants. You know, I mean, it's win-win. If he balls out, great. If he doesn't, you know what, at least you got some sort of marketable name that you can put out there every 5 days. I'm just excited. I think this is actually going to be one of the most important Giants seasons in recent years, because it's really going to tell us where are we going in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
If we actually start making moves and we're going to be actually making a push in the division, hey, we have something to build on. If not, what do we have to do? Blow this whole thing up and start over again? And now we're looking at another 5 years in the tank to see what we have.
They can't afford that, Deli boy.
Good call.
They can't afford that. I'm with you. First and foremost, you know how I feel about Bryce Eldridge. Starting from day number one. I think the biggest mistake, Casey Schmidt may not be a good Major League Baseball player, but I thought the biggest mistake of that season, after hearing Casey Schmidt all spring training, you were talking about him, everybody's talking about him, and he was tearing the cover off the ball. He won the MVP award, right?
Mm-hmm.
For spring training, best spring training player. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Yankee Stadium, Logan Webb, there's Aaron Judge on the other side. The hell with it. Bring up Casey Schmidt. Let him play from day number one. And what did they do? They traded for Max Beattie. And who the hell did they play? I can't even remember the guy's name.
They played essentially a combination of Dalton. Was it Walton Donovan? Donovan Walton
or something. I don't know what the
name was. And then Tyro Estrada and David Villar.
Yeah, that was awful.
And then let me take it a step further. Forget Casey Schmidt. Look what they did with Joey Bart.
Yeah.
The Joey Bart thing never really made a lot of sense. Now, I don't even know if he's good, but he did have a career year in batting average, hits, home runs, doubles, RBIs this year for being a part-time player for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He might just be a part-time player, but you went out of your way to just stymie the guy.
Yep.
And never give him opportunities. It made no sense. It made no sense to me.
I don't get it either. So to get me excited, I'm not going to lie. Bring up Bryce Eldridge from day number one. Day number one, just bring him up. And I wouldn't be opposed to signing Pete Alonso for, you know, you could say it's a 5-year deal. Maybe there's an opt-out after two to let Pete Alonso go back onto the market, but also let him tutor. Let Bryce Eldridge learn from a power hitter. I know he's from the right side, but we expect Eldridge to be a slugger. We expect him to hit jacks.
Last year, he had 565 plate appearances in the minors. He basically hit 29 home runs and 110 RBIs. Now, that was three levels.
Right.
He batted 292.
I mean.
That's pretty legit, gosh, dude.
That's pretty legit.
I know it's the minor leagues, but we were like talking ourselves into Mack Williamson, who was batting like 248.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? With a fraction of the RBIs in power. So, yeah, I'm all in on this. When Will Clark endorses you, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in.
Bill Lasky's a guy that I talk to often about baseball. And the guys that he knows with the Giants almost universally are like, he's the real deal.
Yep.
And then Bill went up there and watched him in Sacramento and said, it just sounds different off his bat. No, and the great players, it does.
I need to see it.
I need to see it.
Let's go to Will and Marin. Will, what's happening,
hey, Will,
man? You're on a roast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Give me some time. So, like I get that, like, the name of Pete Alonso is, like, sexy and attractive, but, like, I'm not trying to pay top dollar for a career 249 hitter with an 854 OPS. Like, what is he going to tutor Bryce Eldridge to do? Hit under 270? Like, I know that he's good and stuff like that, and I know that he has a lot of pop, but it's just like, dude, he's going to struggle in SF. He strikes out a ton. He does not play the defense that Matt Chapman does, so it's like, I don't want to sign someone that hits like Matt Chapman and does not play the defense.
Would you also agree he's infinitely better than Wilmer Flores and Lamont Wade Jr. at first in terms of the offensive production? Because he is.
Well, no, yeah, that would be an outright lie if I said no, yeah, Shasky. But what I want the Giants to do is what they have been predicating their success on. Go get Jack Flaherty. Go get an arm. Like, we have the ballpark to have good pitchers and good defense.
I like Jack Flaherty real quick, Will, but I don't like him against the Dodgers and Padres lineup, and I don't like him against the Diamondbacks lineup.
You only play 12 games against your division.
I know, I get it, but, man.
Maybe it's three starts.
I'd be weary about Jack Flaherty.
I'm in on it.
I get it. I'm in on it. I mean, I'm fearful when Logan Webb goes up against those lineups. They're the best in the world, and they're always going to get theirs. It's no, like, disrespect, and I totally agree with you. It's just that I want the Giants to go with the predicated on good pitching, good defense, timely hitting, and I think that that's what we'll be good at. Like, I don't think just one superstar
is going to help us. Like, I think a few months from now, let's say we get Pete Alonso. I think a few months from now, we're going to be having the same conversations. Lack of offense, tons of strikeouts, defensive struggles. Like, I want them to start playing baseball the way that it's designed to play in their stadium and against their opponents. They have a lot of road opponents outside of the Rockies where they can pitch and have success, and they showed to do that with weaker lineups. And I'm not saying that I'm pumped to have a weak lineup. I just want them to go for their strengths and not for a Band-Aid. Thanks, guys.
I hear you. If you want to play to the strengths of the yard, you got to go get some speed then. I think you got to go get some speed. You got to run this like the old late 80s, mid 80s St. Louis Cardinals where they had Coleman, Willie McGee, Pendleton. They had dudes, Ozzie Smith, running a base pass over and over, going first to home, first to third, left and right. You got Triples Alley. It's a big yard. Give me some speed on the base pass. Make some action happen. So that's what if we're going to go that route, they need to upgrade their speed and athleticism, Shasky.
They do. There's no doubt. I wanted them to get Corbin Burns because I thought that, you know, that pitching and having a guy at the top of the rotation like him, that is how you win. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They have upgraded their defense, though. Willy Adames is a legitimate shortstop. I mean, he's a high-end shortstop. He maybe doesn't have the name appeal that some of these other guys have, but he's legit. So I like where they're at. And look, I see a lot of people saying, like, regarding Bryce Eldridge, oh, you know, he's only had so many at-bats over single A. Literally, I can make the exact same argument about Jackson Merrill. Jackson Merrill had basically, full ball and in the minors, had like 800 at-bats. Mm-hmm. You're looking at about 600 at-bats right now from Bryce Eldridge.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why are we in a rush? Because that's what everyone in baseball is doing. Yeah. Jackson Churio. Obviously, we brought up Gunnar Henderson earlier. Yep. You know, Holiday. There are a zillion opportunities. Paul Skeens. Does Paul Skeens need to be in the minor leagues for some crazy number? No.
Were you a boy from the Reds? De La Cruz.
Yeah.
Both held the other one in Pittsburgh, out loud. You know, this is what you do. You bring them up.
This is what modern baseball is.
This is what the modern baseball is about.
I mean, like, this thing about these are...
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Heck amount of innings. Well, Paul Skeens is different because he pitched at LSU, and you never know when those arms are going to blow. But, like, the days of you need 3 years in the minors and 700 at-bats every year. No, you don't.
Bring them
up.
You
want to strike while that person is hot. Right now, the prime of most baseball players is between about 24 and 29. Yep. It used to be 28 to 32. That is no longer the case.
By the way, Jerry Jones is talking about the side of his neck right now. We're going to effer some of that sound as they make the curious hire of Brian Schottenheimer. Brian Schottenheimer is your new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It was so bad. I've never seen this before. But Baldy tweeted at the Dallas Cowboys, are you sure about this?
It's incredible.
Brian Baldy.
A Friday news dump for the Dallas Cowboys? When was the last time that happened?
They tried it. Oh, they tried it. By the way, knowing that the Super Bowl opponents are set up, how far are the Niners from the Eagles and the Chiefs? Do you feel like there's a Grand Canyon-sized gap between those organizations? Or do you feel like after watching these playoffs?
Organizations or rosters?
Rosters, organizations, all of it.
Well,
everything,
I like our organization.
Everything. Everything about it.
I like our organization. The roster needs a little, like,
but how far are you away? How far are you away from the
Eagles?
I think
you're one good offseason from being right back in the mix. But here's the question that I have. Is CMC going to replicate what he's like? Is he going to be back to the guy he was? Because if you
told just be
me,
healthy.
If you told me he'd be back to the guy that he was, it's like, we're right back where we need to be. I think that's a huge start. If you tell me CMC is like 80% the player that he was from a couple years ago, like that's where I pause. The number one difference between the Niners and the Eagles is the trenches. The number two difference is a healthy Saquon versus a non-existent in 2024 CMC.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The trenches, mm-hmm. I cannot. Like,
the trenches are light years better right now.
100%. 100%. And there's a lot of other areas we match up. To me, it's the trenches, and then I go back to Saquon being fully healthy. Mm-hmm. When I saw him on the sideline with the gun, the massage gun on the calf, I was like, oh, boy.
He's been nicked up all season, but, I mean, he still plays through it.
Right it's now, we look up to them. Would you agree with me?
To the Eagles? Yeah, as of today. They're going to the Super Bowl, and the Niners didn't make the playoffs.
But I mean, it was a really bad year for the Niners. But they're not as bad as what we all agree they're not as bad as what they were this year.
No, and they're not as bad.
But we also all agree they need to upgrade a lot of different positions. Because
even the Eagles last year, everybody said, boy, it came crashing down. They did start the season 10-1. I mean, they did actually make the playoffs as well.
They were really good.
But their coordinators were lacking, and they got rid of the coordinators. And next year, you know, now you get Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore, and Kellen Moore has embraced the run game. And that's the one thing that I learn or relearn every single postseason. And you know it, but we don't talk about it. We wait until the playoffs to start talking about the trenches nationally. We always talk about quarterbacks and whether or not a quarterback can get it done, and whether or not this quarterback is this, when it always comes down to who's better in the trenches. These games come down to who's better in the trenches and who's not making a mistake. And the Chiefs, they made the one mistake yesterday with the Mahomes fumble, and that was about it. The Commanders, they made the mistake, right? The Rams against the Eagles, they made the mistakes. The Packers, opening kickoff of the wild card game against the Philadelphia Eagles, they fumble. Whether you think it was a fumble or not, they fumbled. Detroit, why did they lose against the Commanders?
Yeah.
They turned it over. Why is Lamar sitting at home watching championship weekend? Turnovers. Trenches. You have to take advantage of the red zone opportunities, and you got to score 6 instead of 3.
If I said to you, we don't know who they're going to pick, what they're going to do. CMC is back to being 100%. Doesn't that solve? I know they've got to do.
It solves a lot of problems.
That's all I'm saying.
And then don't forget about Brandon Ayuk.
I think we've forgotten because we're about a year and a half removed. He's the best player in football.
Well, and not only that. Got to figure out what's going on with Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I guess Ayuk's important. I'm not diminishing him. But this is a run-first team.
This is.
And CMC makes everything different.
You know, the Eagles' run game just looks more powerful than the Niners' run game.
Well, it is.
They're getting
Jalen's
downhill.
A power runner,
yeah,
too.
So, and then you got to account for the quarterback.
Yes.
Because he'll pull it and run it, or he'll pull it and find a tight end in the flat like Dallas Goedert. What a monster game.
Goddard's the forgotten playmaker. You bring him up all the time. He's always making plays.
6'5", did I miss it, or were you guys a little scared to talk about the Warriors today? What do you want to hear about the Warriors? They can't shoot right now. Buddy Hield shooting 31% from the three-point line since the beginning of December. Dennis Schroeder scored 10 first-half points, didn't score in the second half. Stephen Curry made history, where he attempted at least 8 field goals in a half and didn't score. He didn't score the second half Saturday night.
Ponte,
the Lakers!
This is going to sound like a hot take. This is how I feel today. The Lakers team that I saw on Saturday night, and I know the Warriors aren't very good. I'm talking about what they've got on their team, okay? What they've got. I think that they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. They might make a move. Vanderbilt being back and good. I know he can only play short stretches because of the double foot surgery or whatever. If Anthony Davis is going to play like that, watch out. Oklahoma City, I think, is the best team in the conference. Obviously, I have respect for Denver. And
Denver's coming along,
I'm not counting them out. I'm not counting them out. I'm just saying, like, LeBron and AD and Dalton Connect and Austin Reeves
playing
and,
well,
like they're and Vanderbilt
playing
and
well.
Rudy, they've got a big, physical, rugged team that can ISO you to death and pick on the matchups. I think they're a better playoff team than they'll be a regular season team.
Yeah, no, I think
I'm really kind of about the Lakers.
No, I look at the Lakers and watching them a closer person after listening to Anthony Davis tell Shams Charania of ESPN that he feels like they're one or two pieces away. Yeah, I think they are one or two pieces away.
They're good.
I do think that. I think they are good.
And gosh, you know, LeBron, this freaking guy is, look, whether you love him, hate him, whatever, you have to acknowledge he is one of the greatest athletes ever. And I looked at his game logs, just his game logs. There was a strike-shortened season or a lockout season or whatever, so they lowered the amount of games. He has not played less than 70 games since 2011.
Yeah, that's insane.
He's 40. Well, it's 2025.
I know he's 40.
How is that even possible?
I don't know. And by the way, Anthony Davis has only missed 3 games this season, so maybe he's on that LeBron treatment as well. But LeBron invests in his body.
He puts the money in his body. He's also had the fortune of not getting hurt, but he suits up.
A lot of
guys don't want to suit up in their health.
No, he suits up. He suits up. Now, he may take possession off, but he's averaging? He's 23, amazing. 8, and 7?
He's amazing.
He's 40 years old, averaging 23, 8, and 7. It's kind of wild. And you know what? I'll give him credit. Last year, he shot 40% from 3. This year, he's shooting 39.5% from 3.
This is his move.
So it's little step back. Yeah, it's the old man game. It's the old man game. And he just started playing bully ball. He started playing bully ball Saturday night. He said, I'm going to take my game inside and not attempt any three. He attempted 1-3 Saturday night. So the Lakers are here. Listen, they get another shooter or two, they're going to be a problem. I think Denver's playing well. Houston's, I think they're a great story, but I still think they're a year away from really being true contenders.
I'm not sure if you watched back the halftime show for ESPN.
Oh, I did. Bob Myers, I was watching it live.
Okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, because it was a national television game, so we didn't have the game on our airway, so we don't do halftimes.
So you were tapped in. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I never know what's going on. So Malika's like, can we bring this back to the game that we're actually like watching? It was exactly what you and I have talked about. They threw it to
Stephen A. and Kendrick Perkins.
And then they just started talking trades.
Yeah, like, it's terrible.
It was so bad.
I believe.
And I give Malika credit. She's like, can we like break down the game we're watching right now?
Yeah, no, it's.
For just a minute?
That's been a big issue with that show and that personnel. Their pre and post game shows need so much improvement, and halftime shows. To talk about the games. They're always talking about hypotheticals in June. Dude, we're in January. We're about June to June. We're in January.
LeBron. We only get, I mean, look, whether they both are playing a couple, we're only probably going to get a dozen more of these, maybe.
No doubt.
Well, and maybe they're lucking into inside the NBA, looking like they're the whole crew's going over there to ESPN. So they're kind of lucking themselves into, like, kind of how the Lakers got lucked into LeBron James. ESPN's lucking into NBA next year.
And I think NBC's package is going to be Mike Tirico company.
Jamal Crawford.
Who is like, you know what? I don't get enough Stephen A. in my life. I need him on all my NBA coverage.
Yeah, it's especially when he doesn't.
He's diluting his own worth, in my opinion.
Listen, I saw Stephen A. one year. I don't know if it was the finals or the conference finals, but at Oracle Arena, where the media center used to be, next to the BMW Club, and finals game's going on. I don't know why I was in there. I think I was getting some water or something.
Okay.
Something's happening. And Stephen A.'s watching Billions, the Showtime show.
No,
Billions.
He was not.
Game's going on. I actually asked him a question, too. I was like, hey, man. I was like, man, Bobby Axelrod is ruthless, man. Blah, blah, blah. Said something. I'm thinking to myself, he's watching Billions during the NBA Finals. Billions. Finals are going on. You got to talk 3 hours at first. Think about the game.
I honestly want to say I don't believe you, but I do believe you.
I didn't want to believe it either. I can't believe I'm telling you, but I shouldn't even be busting about. I'm 3-1 Shasky right now, but I'm thinking to myself, all these people in America that watch you on First Take to get your opinion on the game, they don't even watch any game. It's like me, you know, doing Warriors pre and post game live. Yeah, I'm watch Dexter, Original Sin.
Where I thought you were going with that story, Bonte, is like, you know, he was watching Billions, and, you know, he looked up to me and said, you know, young brother, one day I'm going to be a billionaire too. I thought that's where you were going, and I would have believed it too. Because I think Stephen A. thinks like that.
But you know what he did do? Next thing you know, about 5 minutes later, called his driver. Yeah, I'll be ready in 15 minutes. That's like, damn, that's pretty boss.
What I do love about the whatever broadcast, TNT, ESPN, whatever, when they do, for the NBA, when they do these like still shots of the cable car coming up and over and looking.
Oh, it's pretty sick.
Yeah, looking over North Beach and looking over Alcatraz. They had
some awesome shots.
They had some incredible standstill shots.
Yeah, no, they had some awesome shots.
They really did.
They had something. What was it?
Do you think that they're filming those like the night before?
Oh, they do. Well, they do it the night before, or they do it like before the broadcast, and they just have,
because it was like dark, and that's why I was just curious. Yeah.
Now they do it. They always had cameras everywhere and stuff like that. It's pretty
sick.
Also,
this isn't going to be unpopular. I love like vintage old school jerseys. Like if you're the Celtics, like that, those are great. Love those jerseys. The Laker ones, love those ones too, because that's just old school NBA. The white Laker jersey is awesome.
It is.
It just is. It's an awesome look.
The purple stripe on the pants.
Great look.
Yeah. It pops.
It does.
It pops.
But I go back to, I grew up, the NBA, you wore white at home. I don't understand why it switched. And I don't care. But like, come up with some rules, NBA, and like let us know. Now, I know the Miami Dolphins, for example, wear white at home at times. And the Niners have done the all whites, whatever you're doing here. But for the league, I have no idea who's home, who's not. Like, if you weren't a Warrior fan.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
You flipped on the game.
But let me ask you this.
There's like 700 jerseys.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When you played your buddies in 2K, didn't you guys do this on 2K?
Yeah, we would switch it up every now and then. But what I'm saying to you is the problem with the NBA, would you agree with me? We do have certain branding issues.
We do. We do. There's a lot of jerseys. But we started doing this on 2K. Thought it was cool.
Monte.
We not.
The Warriors have worn an alternate jersey more this year than their standardized jersey.
No doubt. No doubt they
have.
And
I get why. How many, like, honest to God.
But this is the 2K effect. This is what the NBA fan has wanted for so long. And this started happening on video games where I play with the Sixers, right? And Allen Iverson. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wear my blue Sixer jerseys at home. How cool would this look? And then other guys are, you know what? I'm wearing my white kits at home. I'm on the road, or I should say. Okay. And so this has been going on with the 2K generation and the video game generation, and now it's bled over to the NBA. Now, do I think sometimes it's overkill? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I think it's overkill.
I think it's a lot of overkill.
But
the Celtics should not be wearing green at home.
No, I agree.
Like, that's,
I agree.
That, it's just, what are we doing?
I agree, but on certain days, St. Paddy's Day, you want to do that, fine. Finally, though, we saw the Lakers yellow and the Celtics green. They've been wearing black uniforms at Staples Center. That's not what we want. We want the uniforms.
That's terrible. Like, right now, if I asked a bunch of 12-year-olds that I coach, so I think they're 13 or 14, like, what are the Warrior colors? And they're like, everything.
Everything.
Literally, like, dark blue, red, yellow, black. They also wear blue. Like, what?
It's fine. I don't go crazy over it. It's a sign of the times, man. It's a sign of the times. Real quick, let's play some Jerry Jones down. Warriors, they'll be back on the floor tomorrow. We'll get into the Warriors heavily tomorrow.
It bugs me, the jersey thing, and I just, maybe I'm alone. I'm just the old guy yelling at everybody.
I'm old for an
alternate jersey here and there.
You're the old
guy. It just
guy
feels like the Warriors have not worn the actual standard normal jersey.
You don't like their normal jersey, though.
I don't even like it.
Yeah, I know. So what you complaining about?
There's too many alternates.
It bothers me. You don't even like their original uniform.
Well, Jerry Jones. Think that they should go to the retros.
I'm a Warriors fan all the way.
Here we go. The Warriors do lose. They're 21-22. 22-23. They have Utah, and then back-to-back is Oklahoma City. Then they finish this homestand with Phoenix and Orlando. And here's the facts, man. They're not a good shooting team right now. They don't get to the free throw line enough. They're a little small. And Steph Curry feels like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders. It is a problem. It is a problem. Boy, and Jonathan Kuminga, this ankle injury, came at the wrong time. It's a struggle right now with the Golden State Warriors. Yet, they're still in the mix. They're still a game out of the box. And they can make this, not too late to make a move or make some things happen. But we'll visit that tomorrow. Jerry Jones, let's laugh a little bit. Here's his message to Cowboy fans after hiring Brian Schottenheimer, who hasn't been a head coaching candidate in a decade. Remember, he was a candidate when he was the offensive coordinator with the New York Jets? Then he became an offensive coordinator with the Seahawks, and I think he went to the Rams, but he's been all over the place. Here's Jerry Jones' message to Cowboy fans.
And what I would say for the fans is that, yes, to some, and it might be couched as less than glamorous hire. What I would say to you is I got here taking shots and not shoddy shots. I got here taking shots. Good things have happened. Let me tell you something. There's some stuff to be had over there where not many people go. There is. Don't think for one minute I won't take a shot. This was risky. This is risky. But by the same token, how often can you take a risk when someone has had over 30 years, almost 30 years, getting my numbers mixed up, but almost 30 years of being around coaches, of being around players. That's two-thirds of his life. And then the rest of it growing up in a football-oriented, NFL-oriented family, if you will.
Jerry Jones trying to sell the hype.
Oh,
look, Larry Bear did a hell of a better job selling the 2025 Giants than Jerry Jones is selling this hire. Again, as long as Jerry, and I've said this for years, as long as he's running the team, the Cowboys win nothing ever again, and it warms my heart that that's the case.
Bonte, before we go to Fast Five, I sent this to Guru over the weekend. You know Star Wars just a little. You know who Yoda is.
Yeah.
Well, they made Yoda white. And now he looks like Jerry Jones.
Oh, no.
Tell me that doesn't look like Jerry Jones. It looks identical to Jerry Jones. Does it not? I can't unsee it.
You feel sorry for Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry's making so much money.
He's in his Al Davis era.
Because I remember when they had the Hard Knocks. Remember he looked out on the practice field and you were like, Bonte, I kind of feel bad for him. Maybe they should win one more. The hell with that.
Go to Fast Five because I'm going to defend Jerry Jones.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
To defend.
How are you a 49er fan going to defend Jerry? Hold on. How are you going to defend Jerry Jones as a 49er fan? This would be like defending Tommy Lasorda to the Dodgers. What are you doing?
If I told you in 2003, all the different people that were hired, Bill Parcells, who got hired by the Cowboys, had the highest winning percentage of all the new hirees, you wouldn't believe me. In 2007, when he hired Wade Phillips, second highest winning percentage behind Mike Tomlin. When he hired Jason Garrett in 2011.
I do like Jason Garrett on NBC.
Highest winning percentage of the nine guys hired then. And Mike McCarthy in 2020 had the highest winning percentage of all the coaches that were hired in 2020. Look, I don't like Jerry Jones. He has been pretty good with these hires.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
They win.
No, nobody.
They do. They win what?
They win what? They win regular season games against bad football teams?
Yes, they haven't won.
That's what they do?
But regular season, they win.
Last year, we kept talking about it. They haven't beat a team over 500. They win meaningless. It's one thing to beat the New York Giants, who've been awful for a decade, twice a year. The Commanders have been awful for a decade, twice a year. All right, the Eagles have had their ups and downs. The Cowboys stink. They haven't won a meaningful game in how long? 95? I'm talking meaningful game. Meaningful. That's winning, and they haven't done much of that. Until Jerry Jones steps down or dies, the Cowboys ain't winning a damn thing ever again.
Wow.
Jesus.
I mean, listen, God bless his soul. He's getting up there in age. What is he, 80?
God bless his soul. You just killed the man.
No, I didn't kill him. No pun intended. This guy deserves...
Unless he dies.
I mean, he's 82 years old. He's 82. He's senile. He doesn't even believe half the stuff he says. Little winks that he gives. The Cowboys stink, and I love it. He's a high-level loser. He's not even a high-level loser. He's just a loser.
Well, they win.
He's a low-level loser. Win what? What did they win? What did they win?
Very good.
What did the Cowboys? They haven't been to
They won that one playoff game
they
a couple years ago.
They won the division two out of the last 3 years.
They're great in the wild card round.
The NFC East has been basically the NFC East.
4 years.
Des caught it.
Well, that was the league conspiring against Jerry.
Well, they always say Dez caught it, but they never talk about DeMarco Murray fumbling when he had a wide open lane and go score a touchdown on Lambeau Field. We always admit the facts. Fact. And that's why the Cowboys are the Cowboys. That's why their fans are delusional.
$75 million hit next year.
Ooh, wait. I thought it was 90.
Oh, I saw 90 million. I saw 75.
Brian Schottenheimer, you're now the new scapegoat of the Dallas Cowboys. My final thought?
Though that wasn't the final
die,
thought.
Eagles, die. Jerry? Cry, Eagles, cry. On the road to misery. That's how I'm feeling about the Super Bowl.
The Kings joining Chiefs Kingdom?
I'm not joining Chiefs Kingdom. Cry, Eagles, cry. On the road to misery. Cry, Eagles, cry. I know, we're going to play
what,
that.
Like, what are you doing?
We'll play it again at some point. My final thought is, just think about what the Giants are going to be. I think the biggest difference is just, it's going to be so nice having baseball people making baseball decisions for these baseball players. That's okay, what it should okay. be about, and that's what I don't want to see.
I'm going to get my Steinie on. You can't do that. After all the defending of Farhan that you did.
Well, I'm going to do what Shasky did. I'm going to pivot instead of panic. I react to new information. Am I wrong?
That's an Uno reverse card right there, buddy.
And I'm not going to do what Steiny did on Friday, which was mail it in on Friday.
Why?
You want to talk about a Friday mail in?
Is he the new postman?
Oh, my gosh. He mailed it in hard on Friday. I mean, the Warriors getting a win, and this guy acted like, jeez Louise. Be better today, Steiny, please. Spadoni, get in
there. I don't want to hear any more about Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts being a bad head coach or a bad quarterback. Mm. You don't reach two Super Bowls mm-hmm. being a bad head coach mm-hmm. or a bad quarterback.
I think he's
in the history
you,
of ever, there has never been a head coach to reach the Super Bowl twice. And I'm looking at Kyle Shanahan, too, because he lost. He's a very good head coach. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. There you go.
He shut me up. I admitted it. He played way better. I thought he was the weak link. He was awesome yesterday.
That wasn't directed at you. That's just the narrative of Nick Sirianni.
Well, no, I think, look, when you watch Jalen Hurts, it's hit and miss.
I got to stick up for my Paisans. Let me.
Yeah, stick it up.
Italian Philly coach?
Oh, man.
He's an Italian.
Big Dom. He's bad.
Do. You don't have to root for the Chiefs. All you got to do is root for the Eagles to lose.
God.
That was Fast Five.
The Bay Area has lost.
Brought to you by Xfinity. We need the Warriors to step up or somebody, man. This is depressing times. At home, Ron and Go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Guru's in the building. We know he's going to bring it. Will his partner today? Better be better than he was on Friday.